ॐ ध्यायामोदवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धाभाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 38th shloka of Saundarya Lahari. So in this shloka, in the previous two shlokas, Shankara spoke about Ajna Chakram, Tava Ajna Chakrastam, and then Vishuddhau, Vishuddhau. So Vishuddhi Chakra and Ajna Chakra. So the next chakra in line is called Anahatam or Hridayam as well it is known. So it is the heart place where Vayu Tattvam is there. So here Shankara praises or worships two swans, Hamsam, like swan or like the particular bird which is called as swan or Hamsam in Sanskrit. So we will get into the significance of Hamsam and as to why Shankara is speaking about Hamsam as present in the heart. But the heart, like here Devi is Devi and Sadashiva. So Shiva Shakti Aike Rupini. Devi plus Sadashiva is Shankara worships Shiva Shakti Aike Rupini in the heart. And what like Shiva and Shakti, in the previous shloka Shankara spoke about the qualities of Shiva and Shakti in each of the chakram. So in Vishuddhi Chakram in the previous shloka and in Ajna Chakram in the shloka before that. So here Shankara compares Shiva and Shakti as two Hamsas, two swans. So we'll get into the, after learning the shloka, we'll get into the importance of Hamsam. So this particular shloka is set in the raga called Hamsanadam. I don't know if this is not that a common raga, but still it is well known. So, but I don't remember any songs in the raga. It's a beautiful raga. So, Hamsa Nadam. So, the word itself means, Nadam means dvani or sound. Hamsam, sound of Hamsam. So, Shankara has, or like, not Shankara exactly, but whoever composed this, the teacher who taught my father, or the music teacher, whoever decided to compose or beautify Saundarya Lahari by giving each of the shloka a particular raga, they would have known the meaning as well, because for this shloka where Hamsam is spoken about and the conversation between both Hamsam of Shiva and Shakti is being talked about or spoken about, therefore the shloka is also set in the raga Hamsanadam. So the shloka goes like this. Samunmilat sanvit kamalamakarandaikarasikam bhaje hamsadvandham kimapi mahatam Manasacharam Yadala Padashta Dashakunita Vidya Parinati Yadadate Doshan Gunamakilamadhyaya Payaiva. So samunmilat samvit kamala makarandaika rasikam. So it's one entire, the meaning of the entire thing. So samunmilat samvit kamala makarandaika rasikam. Makarandam, makaranda ekarasikam. Rasikam means people who enjoy, or fans. That's what we know of rasikam. But rasikam means people who enjoy or go behind pleasure, seeking things. So rasikam, seekers of what? Makaranda ekarasikam. Eka, only one. What? Makarandam. So makarandam means the honey or the essence of a flower is called makarandam. So the honey that is there in a particular flower, in any flower, that is called makarandam. So that seeking that alone, makaranda yega rasikam, seeking that makarandam alone, or content with only that makarandam, kamala makaranda yega rasikam. So it, what is the flower of which makarandam alone is being sought? Kamalam. So kamalam means lotus. So lotus flower makaranda yega rasikam. And what does this lotus flower, or which lotus flower? It's not any lotus flower, but Sambit. Sambit means jnanam. So Sambit means vision of knowledge. Sambit is also associated in many places with chit or consciousness, but here Sambit means knowledge. So knowledge lotus flower. Knowledge flower, or knowledge lotus flower, the essence of knowledge lotus flower. And samun unmilitam, sam unmilita. So sam unmilita means that flower. Unmilanam means we use the word for closing and opening of our eyes. Opening of our eyes is called unmilanam, opening of eyes. So that is called Chakshurun Meelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Chakshu Unmeelitam Yena. So Unmeelanam means opening. So Sam Unmeelit. Sam means well. So clearly opened or blossom, well blossomed lotus flower. The honey, seeking the honey of well blossomed lotus flower alone. And what is that flower? This flower is Jnanam. So what is the honey that comes of well blossomed Jnanam? So Jnanam, when it becomes blossomed, that means there is, it can have only one essence out of it, which is Anandam. So whatever is being done, Anandam Paramanandam Kannan Tirumuka Darshaname, Tiruvadi Darshaname or Tirumuka Darshaname. So when Anandam becomes, when Jnanam is well blossomed, Jnanam is well, what to say, gloomed or well matured enough, then there is only one thing that can come out of the jnanam, which is anandam. So wherever you see, there will be only anandam. That's the reason why whether amma seeks people who are crying, or amma seeks people who are angry or happy, all of them get only bliss out of amma. So that is a far-fetched statement. When amma visits tsunami affected areas and all, they'll not be happy. We cannot say that. In Gujarat, the earthquake that shattered Gujarat like 5-6 years back in 2001 or sometime around that, I believe. So at that time, Amma's people went there and built an entire village of houses, 1,000 houses or something like that. And then the next time when Amma went to Gujarat, then all of those people, they came running towards Amma. So even though they had lost their dear ones and like their possessions and all those things, yet it was a state of sorrow. Yet when Amma went there, like they were happy. So that's the reason why when Amma went visiting places, seeing tsunami, or visiting places which were affected by tsunami, though they were crying, but still they were happy, because there is only happiness that can come out of matured knowledge. And Amma is a Mahatma who is always living in knowledge. She has not gained any knowledge. It is inherent. It is Amma's very nature. So that knowledge sends around waves of happiness. So happiness is the essence of knowledge. So a knowledge leaf, if we consider a knowledge flower, not leaf, sorry, lotus, I said lotus leaf, it's not lotus It's a flower, so lotus flower. So the flower of knowledge can give us only one thing, which is Anandam. And Mahatam. Mahatam Manasa Charam. So Shankara is very poetic here. So here itself, the first line itself is so beautiful. So the next he says, this particular Kamalam, this Sambit Kamalam, where is it situated? It is situated in Manasa Charam. It is Charam means, like here, Charam means a lake or a pond. Manasa lake, like mind, mental lake in the mind. Whose mind? Mahatam of Mahatma. So Mahatam Manasa Charam. So Mahatam Manasa Charam. Samunmilit Samvit Kamala Makarandaika Rasikam. So in the pond or lake, in the mind of Mahatmas, and seeking the essence or the nectar out of only knowledge, only one flower, which is knowledge, there are Kimapi Hamsa Dvandvam. Kimapi Sam Hamsa Dvandvam. Two Hamsas are there. So that means two Hamsas, they roam around in the pond, in the mind of Mahatmas, and they seek only the essence out of knowledge. This means, and such a Hamsa Dvandvam, such a two Hamsam, I worship, Bhaje, I worship. So, like, we will not, it's not possible to summarize or briefly explain what Shankara is trying to point out here. We'll have to use our own imagination. So, due to lack of time, we will just deal it quickly. We will not get into a lot of details. Like, whoever is interested can contact later. But what this means, these two lines mean a lot of things. So the first is that Mahatam Manasa Charam, the mind or the mental pond. So the mind of Mahatmas has knowledge in it, has a knowledge lotus in it, or knowledge flower resides in the mind of Mahatmas. And that is being sought by Hamsa Dvandvam. So Hamsa Dvandvam, if we consider Hamsa Dvandvam as Shiva Shakti, so where does Shiva Shakti reside? Do they reside in Tripura Rahasyam or Tripura? Or they reside in Kailasam, they reside here, or they reside in Amma's Ashram, they reside in like Pavai Chinmaya Mission, or do they reside in the Dakshineshwar Temple in Kali? They don't reside in any of those places. Where do they reside? They reside in the mind of Mahatmas. Why do they reside in the mind of Mahatmas? Because they seek only knowledge, essence of knowledge. They seek only essence of knowledge. And that essence of knowledge is there only in the mind of Mahatmas. That means the moment we are able to, get pure knowledge, or divine knowledge, or we can say perfect knowledge, then that very moment these Hamsa Dvandvam come into our mind. So Hamsa, like Mahata Manasa Charam, Mahatmas Manasam, the mental lake of Mahatma, or the lake in the mind of Mahatmas, doesn't mean that we will never, like, our Hamsa Dvandvam will not come into our mind. It doesn't mean that it is ruled out for us, we don't cater to it. The moment we gain knowledge, the moment our knowledge about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that becomes matured enough, that very moment these Hamsa Dvandvam come into our mind. And what is the speciality of Hamsam? There is even a mantra called Hamsa, like Hamsa Mantram, and many other mantra, Hamsa Soham and all. So Hamsam or Swan is like, has a very peculiar quality, which is that it can, if there is a bowl wherein like we have mixed water and milk, then the swan just splits both water and milk and it drinks milk. So if what we mix milk or water with milk, we will not be able to split it. So there is no way to split it. We cannot do it at all. But Oh, with science we can do it, we can like boil it, we can do this, we can do that and all. If that's fine, like science can do it. It's a great achievement of science, but it is not physical separation of milk and water that is pointed out here. Hamsa is able to do that. What does that denote? That is what Shankara says next. So Shankara says, Yada yet adate. Yet adate, yet doshat akilam gunam abhyah paya iva adate. Adate means separate. So it differentiates and takes what it takes payam. Payo means milk, and abhyah means from water. So from water paya, abhyah paya iva. Abhyaha, from water, paya iva, paya. So it's as the humsam, as a normal humsam separates milk from water, iva. Similarly, doshat, from doshas, from like the bad qualities of the mind, akilam gunam adatte. All the good gunas are attained. So what? When these hamsas come into our mind, when knowledge blossoms, when knowledge matures, then what would happen is, though we may have bad qualities, we may have bad tendencies, yet these two hamsas come into our mind and they separate, they differentiate the good qualities from the bad qualities, which means we'll be able to negate bad qualities. The main problem, like, we all have the characteristics, or like we have the will and the power to separate good and bad, but most of the time we'll not be able to do it because our intellect is not matured. Knowledge has not become perfect. When knowledge becomes perfect, nitya nitya vastu vivekam, that becomes natural. That means we'll be able to find out what is good and what is not good. What appears to be good, what appears to be good but is not good, what appears to be bad but is not bad, we'll be able to find all those differences. That means even as a hamsa, even as a swan separates milk from water, similarly these hamsa dvandvam will separate bad qualities from good qualities. Good qualities will help in enjoying and spreading of the essence of knowledge, which is Anandam. So once we are able to gain knowledge, once knowledge matures in us, then these two hamsas will be there in our in the lake of our mind, in the mind. When they come in the mind, we'll be able to split both. When we are able to split both, then knowledge, the essence of knowledge comes out. So is it that we first gain knowledge and then the hamsa comes, or is it that we hamsa comes and knowledge becomes perfect? If knowledge becomes perfect, then why do we need hamsa? So it's a gradual, it's not a it's not, what to say, one after the other. It's not a simultaneous process. It's something which happens together. It's not, we cannot say that first this happens, first knowledge comes and then hamsas come. Both happen like together, I think simultaneously means together, so I'm sorry. It's not like successive steps, we cannot say that. But what it means is that the more and more knowledge matures, then the more and more we strengthen our knowledge, the more and more knowledge becomes strengthened, it becomes more and more perfect in our mind, then automatically the hamsas will come. When the hamsas come, then what will happen is the essence of knowledge, they will churn out the essence of knowledge. When they churn out essence of knowledge, they will split bad qualities and good qualities. Bad qualities will be negated, and then what will happen is the essence of knowledge will spread around us. So it will spread in our mind. That means our mind will be pervaded with Anandam, or the essence of knowledge. So that is what is the import. So Amma quotes in two or three places of her Sambhashanam. about Hamsa. Like Hamsa, we should also have knowledge. If we have knowledge, the more and more knowledge we gain, so this doesn't mean that the more and more knowledge we gain, two Hamsas will come into my mind. I have gained knowledge, but I don't see any Hamsa coming into my mind. So it's not a physical Hamsa or in any such form. It means that our intellect will become more strengthened. When it becomes more strengthened, then our mind itself will be able to find out which is what is good and what is not good. That is when we can know. If we are able to find out, if we are able to do things like or separate good from bad, what is good? Good is that which takes us in the spiritual path. Good is that which takes us towards the goal of Advaitiya Brahman. Good is that which helps us in seeing Brahman everywhere. So anything that helps us, that is good. Anything which obstructs vision of oneness, anything that obstructs our remembrance of Devi as Advaitiya Brahman, that is bad, even though it may be chanting of Lalita Sahasranama. It may also be like going for a retreat. So if we go for a retreat, but still we don't remember that the goal of any sadhana is remembrance of Advaitiya Brahman, then even retreat with Amma also will become futile. That's the reason why many of the people around Amma, many of disciples of Amma, they are not matured. They will start arguing. They will start comparing Amma with Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. They will start comparing Amma with Sai Baba. So that's what happens with many and most of the followers of a particular Mahatma, a particular or mission. Between mission, people will start comparing. So that clearly shows that as long as we remember the goal, as long as we remember that Advaitiya Brahman is the goal, then any action becomes good. As long as we forget that, even good actions become really bad. So once we are able to strengthen knowledge, what is knowledge? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that everything is pervaded by one Ishvara. The Nama Rupam that we see is only Mithya, it's not real. So the moment we see something, the moment it causes a ripple or starts causing a ripple in our mind, immediately we should notice and say, oh, Nama Rupam is Mithya. If we are able to strengthen this slowly, day by day, we are able to strengthen, then we will feel the Hamsam. We will feel that we are able to find or differentiate between good and bad. The more and more we do that, we will gain Anandam. So Hamsanadam, don't think that I missed the third line. I forgot the third line. So it was intentional missing. So the third line, Shankara says, these two Hamsas are chatting between each other. So there is a conversation. That is why it's called, the raga is called Hamsanadam. So there is a chatting or chit chat between these two Hamsas. That is yet alapad. So from yet alapad. So alapad means like chit chat or sweet talk, we can say. Romantic talk would be ideal here. So yet alapad. So due to these two Hamsas, sweet talk, the sweet conversation going between these two Hamsas, Ashtadasha Gunita Vidya Parinati. So Ashtadasha Gunita Vidya. Gunita means like calculated or counted. So Ashtadasham means, Dasham means 10, Ashta means 8, 8 plus 10, 18. So 18 Vidyas, Ashtadasha Vidyas. Ashtadasha Gunita Vidyas. Gunita means counted or totaled or calculated as 18. So 18 Vidyas Parinati, it is created. So what this means is that it's Innar Anahatam, Shiva and Shakti are there. The moment Shiva and Shakti come into our Anahatam, then Ashtadasha Vidya gets created or manifested. So I am not sure about Ashtadasha Vidya. Probably somebody can go through the Tamil book and explain to us tomorrow about Ashtadasha Vidya. But the essence or the import of this is that the chat or the turbulence that is present in a Mahatma's mind and which comes out in the form of words, that will, each and every word will be valuable. So Amma herself says that Mahatma's words are Muttu Malagal. So she says Muttu Malagal means like they are like a necklace of like beads. So this bead is Muttu, means I think it's the kind of diamond or much more than worthy than that. So words of Mahatmas are all highly useful. So we may think like some words, this is not really good, this is not really useful, this is very low level, this is very high level, we may think. But each and every word that comes out of the mouth of a Mahatma, in whose mind these two Hamsas reside, that will always be valuable. We will not be able to find the essence of such a of such words, because they are Ashtadasha Vidya. They are knowledge. Knowledge, like it's true knowledge. So we need to have a vision of knowledge in order to even apprehend at least 5 or 10% of what the Mahatma say. Whereas once when we went to meet Amma, there was a teacher teaching in Amma's computer institute. So he asked Amma something, Amma replied something. He couldn't understand what Amma said. Amma said, gave a simple example, some kind of example. It was very simple, but still he knew that there is some import behind it, but he couldn't find it. He asked one of the Swamiji, one of the yellow-robed Swamiji who goes with Amma. He's called Krishnan. He's the person who plays the Kinjara. But that Swamiji said, "Oh, Amma's word, I have no idea, don't even ask me." He was not able to find out, he himself. So that speaks about the words of Mahatmas. We may feel, "Oh, Nandati, Nandati, Nandati eva." Oh, it's very simple, we may think, but those have like deeper significance. We will not be able to understand them unless we have vision of knowledge, because they are all Vidya. So we may think that we have learned like 38 shlokas of Saundarya Lahari. Oh, Saundarya Lahari, it is very simple. But Shankara has explained things in a poetic way. It's normal thing. Everything is Brahman. It doesn't matter. Everything is Brahman. That's what he says. But everything is Brahman. Whatever we see is only Namarupam in Brahman. That means everything is Brahman. That's it. This summarizes knowledge. Knowledge means Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Ivana Paraha Anena Vedyam Sat Shastram Idi Vedanta Dindima. Anena Vedyam, with this Vedyam is known what? Sat Shastram. Knowledge about truth, scripture of truth is done with this. Iti Vedanta Dindima, thus says Vedanta. That's it. That's enough. But is it really enough? If it was really enough, we will not be learning more and more. That itself means that words of Mahatmas have more deeper significance than we can even imagine, because it is Vidya. Each and every word that comes out of Amma, we should try to understand with our limited intellect, try to converse or have conversation with Amma's disciples, Amma's sannyasi disciples, and try to find out the meaning. Because even if we are able to understand at least 1% of what Amma says, that will be more than enough to take us from the state of sorrow to Anandam. Because if we are able to follow it perfectly, that is knowledge. So that means Kamalam, Samvit Kamalam will blossom in our mind if we are able to follow the words of Mahatmas. So this particular shloka generally speaking about Hamsam. So Hamsam is very divine. So the next time somebody says about Hamsam, we should remember, even as Hamsam separates water from milk, similarly our intellect should become capable, should have Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam, thereby it should be able to differentiate good from bad. If we are able to do that, then the Hamsa Dvandvam, the two Hamsas, will come in our mind. If they come in our mind, then the essence of, they will churn out the essence of knowledge, because those two Hamsas seek only knowledge. So that means We cannot find Shiva Shakti in any other place. If we have to find Shiva Shakti, there is only one way, which means we have to have knowledge. Gaining knowledge is the one and only way. The gaining knowledge or knowledge itself can be called as devotion. If when we see Devi everywhere and offer everything to Devi, then that is knowledge. So this knowledge alone can lure these two Hamsas into our mind. That only can bring Devi into our Anahatam. Once Devi comes into our Anahatam, then the essence of knowledge will come out, which is Anandam, which we are really seeking. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next name. Hari Om.